Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Pastor John Coleman on the line. Pastor Coleman, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us. And, of course, I've never really had a chance to talk to Pastor Coleman, but I know my good friend, Dr. Bob Plink, goes to his church, and he's worked very closely with Dean Gocher, who's a frequent guest on our program, trying to let people understand how they're playing games with our mind by getting us into little groups in the church, by, getting us into meetings for our local homeowners association or whatever it would be. They're all consensus groups. This is how you control the population. So I'm going to let Pastor Coleman start out in telling us his concerns about what's happening in our society today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be asked to be on your show today. I've been doing the conferences with Dean just for a little while, not as long as the other conferencees, but since the time that I've met him a number of years ago and looked into the process and how it works, I thought that I'd take a closer look at it and see how it has affected the community that I come from, the African-American community. Just to give a little background, I was a pastor of a good-sized church. I have a graduate degree from Talbot Theological Seminary, and I'm just preaching the Word of God, the Bible. All of a sudden, individuals began to disagree with what I taught. The argument wasn't my style nor personality, as it was the substance of what I was teaching. So these individuals began to try to control what I taught, and I refused to be controlled by anyone. I've never been that kind of individual. I've always, even as an African-American, believed in rugged individualism, that in that traditionalism that you were raised with, that you would adhere to that. But, well, I lost the church, basically got kicked out. They tried to scandalize my name, destroy my character. I started another ministry, and basically the same thing happened there. By that time, I was totally disillusioned that I thought God and Christianity and the whole deal until I got in touch with Dean and figured out how whom I call the dialectic pirates work their work. Is your audience familiar with the process itself? And I'm asking you that question. Are the people familiar with the process?
Yes, I think that they are, but why don't you just go ahead and review that briefly, how the consensus process works and how you can use it to control people's minds and emotions.
Absolutely. Okay, well, it starts off with the simple idealism, which is thesis plus thesis equals antithesis. In other words, a thesis is your position or your particular worldview, where you stand on an issue. Let me put it this way. I don't believe that females have been called to be pastors, because biblically, the Bible speaks against a female being called as a pastor. Now, another person comes in with their thesis, in other words, their position or their worldview. Now, if we disagree, coming to antithesis means coming to a consensus or synthesis or to come to a compromise, and so that we can all get along.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor John Coleman. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Pastor John Coleman, and we're going to be talking about the consensus process in Christianity. And Pastor Coleman had a very successful church in the black community, and then, of course, people began to disagree because he was very emphatic. He was teaching the gospel as, of course, it's written in the scriptures, and that isn't very popular today among certain people. And what most people don't understand is our church is been infiltrated with people who have a different worldview. And of course, Christianity is one of the major barriers to our move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. And so, of course, he came under a vicious attack, not once, but on several occasions. And of course, it was only after he had been put out of two separate churches, he began to understand how the consensus process had been used to an effort, of course, to ease him out of his ministry positions. And he has a graduate degree, actually. Don't you teach logic at a university or college?
Yes, I teach it in junior college. I teach logic and introduction to philosophy, yes.
All right, fine. So here's a man, of course, well-schooled, but founded in the absolutes of the Bible. And there are people who would have our churches change their teaching. Well, there is no hell. Hell is just separation from God. You know, and so if you go to hell, why, that's just, well, there's no eternal damnation or punishment. A God wouldn't do a thing like that because God has only one attribute, and that's love. And he wants you to get along with everybody, and he wants to get along with you, and you to get along with everybody. And well, you pick up this story. You were talking about the consensus process, but you would feel that a woman should not be a minister in a church, and other people would say, well, we feel differently. We feel it isn't fair to keep a woman out of the ministry. And so then, of course, you would negotiate to a consensus, a thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis, the old Hegelian concept, which is the fundamental of both dialectic materialism, which is communism, and so much of the philosophy we see today. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. The system alone has been placed there into the culture in which we live in for the purpose of controlling the ways that individuals think and behave. Now, this system of control, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, is not only in the schools, businesses, but it's even in our religious institutions. And what I, you know, have viewed is that the system is an evil one because it is hoodwinked many Bible-based Christians. First, you see, there has to be two or more theses or differing of views on an issue. There's where the antithesis comes in. And a lot of people don't understand. It's not just my feelings about what I feel about a female pastor, but it's what God has stated adamantly about it.
Hold that thought right now.
Right.
All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we're just speaking with Pastor John Coleman, and we're talking about, of course, this idea that, well, of course, there are certain things that are in the Bible. They're very emphatic, but there are people who would say, well, of course, that's pretty straight-laced, and after all, this is the 21st century, and maybe, of course, we should negotiate what's in the Bible, because after all, there really are no absolutes, and we're an evolving society, things are changing, sort of a social Darwinist concept, and so there would be people who would disagree with your fixed dogmatic position. In fact, they would call you bulldogmatic because you hold to a fixed position instead of really being willing to compromise the Word of God.
Well, of course, that's exactly what they do, because the idea is that there has to be a common goal to be reached, and that's not necessarily so. I have a right to hold to my opinion. That's what the American way is supposed to be. At least that's what I was taught when I came up in school, that you have an opinion, you prove your opinion, you've thought it through, I believe in objective truth, and even for, as an African-American guy, I feel that way strongly. Now, I preach that way when I preach the Bible. I preach it emphatically. Jesus Christ is God. There are no others. The God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran. We have to speak that way, but they don't want that in the church now. Now they want this compromise. You see, the purpose is to dialogue until we come into consensus. But you see, I don't want to consensus with you. And so since I don't want to do that, now that poses a problem. And the problem is, what are you going to do with me? Now this is what they try to do. There must be a face-to-face encounter. What they do, and some of the buzzwords that they use is, you know, what are we going to do to encounter John? Well, in in Christianity, in religion, they get other pastors that have dialogue towards consensus to come by and talk with you. I don't want to talk to anybody. The first thing that they would try to do is say, well, John, you must have sinned. There must be something wrong with you. I didn't want to talk with them. So then I was told that, John, you've got to participate in the discussion because this is how we show you how wrong you are. But you see, that's a part of the dialectic process. Once you begin to participate in the discussion, then you've joined the team. See, this is where the bonding processes takes place between the individuals. I mean, this scheme has been so systematically put together. It's used in business all around the country. It's used everywhere. And what it does is it took me back to the day that when I was in the Army, and of course I was in the Army during the Vietnam era, and we were taught to be against communism, this godless kind of government and godless type of mentality. And when you read Mao's Red Book, that's what he had them doing over there. This bonding process, this participating, this encounter. See, and then what they would do is they would say things like, Pastor John, we need to sit down and you need to share your differences with us. Well, once you do that in the process, you begin to talk about what your differences are, and then they mount a formidable defense against you. Because what they do is they go to other people and they say, can you tell me something that John has done, possibly that John has said, possibly what John meant or you thought he meant? And then when they try to get you to dialogue, this is also where we begin to focus, because they said, now wait a minute, we have to get our focus exactly right in ways in which that they might get you to compromise in order to achieve their group solution. Now it has nothing to do with me deciding upon anything. The decision has already been made by the consensus of the majority of the group. And you know, this is kind of outrageous to me, because as an African American, when you think about the We Shall Overcome days and all of this other stuff, and now when I see the entire church and community drawn into this by their politicians, by their pastors, who I call pulpit pimps, because that's what they are, and I name them when I do talk radio. When I do talk radio here in Los Angeles, I name who they are. I define how these guys do it. There is an audience of African Americans as well as white Americans listening to me, but most of the folk in my community think that I've kind of lost my mind here, but I'm not crazy, and I'm very sure that I'm not.
Well, of course, you base what your feelings on the scriptures and, of course, your interpretation of the scriptures. But, of course, the whole idea is we've got to begin to compromise our Christian beliefs so we can get along with the community. And, of course, we can, of course, attract more people in the church if, of course, we do not hold a certain outlandish belief, or at least we don't profess those.
Right. And then, you see, this is why when you look at the role of praxis or the role of the dialectic, what they do is they get this expert. That's what they call he or her. They're an expert, and they're controlling the direction of the communicative processes. Now, to me, that's totally illogical, because as a professor of logic, I don't want anybody controlling anything about me if I'm already sure of the absolute position that I have.
But you see, that there are two basic philosophical positions. One is there is a right and wrong, there is an absolute, and that is the other philosophical position, that there are no absolutes, everything is relative. And of course, that comes from the atheistic point of view, which is increasingly, of course, permeating every aspect of society. There are no right and wrong, everything's relative.
This is why when a major event happens over the news, we don't know whether to say the person needs to be hung or burned in the electric chair. What we do is we get in these little group think tanks and talk about it. And see, this trained leader or this facilitator, he's trained to shut down, or he attempts to do so, the traditional thinkers in the group. You see, and what we must do as Christians is we must realize that our agenda, that our backgrounds, that our whole agenda for doing life is based upon a hierarchy kind of a system. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Sola Scriptura, the Word alone. Not an outside facilitator that comes in and tries to do away with the thinking that's done in the mind of the traditional thinker.
You know, I think it's really very interesting. I don't know how many of our listeners have actually been in a meeting where there was a facilitator, but they're bringing these outside so-called experts. And
right.
He will then get up and he will have a blackboard there, and he'll ask you what you think, and he'll start writing down the words that you have, and as if you really had some input into the process.
Right.
And it's really done very, very cleverly, because, you know, you speak up and you've got an idea, and they nod, oh, well, that's pretty smart. But they've already decided before the program ever started what the outcome is going to be. And the whole idea of the facilitator is to convince you that you will go along with their agenda.
Well, of course. You see, because what they're trained to do is they're trained to do away with the right and wrong thinkers. They don't want there to be, you see, they're trying to neutralize that particular process. There must be a participation with others in thought and deed in order for that particular process to work at all. And so these facilitators are manipulating. You know what they do? It's a theme that Dean uses in his lectures, and I kind of tapped in on it. It's called the unfreezing process. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to unfreeze you, because a traditional thinker is frozen in what they believe in. I mean, it's like granite. We aren't moving.
I mean, but, you believe in the Bible, and you're just frozen in that. You're like granite. You don't want to change. I mean, you are just completely unreasonable in your belief, because you believe in the Scriptures.
Well, you see, but this is what the first century Christians, that's how they believed. That's why they went into the Colosseum with a smile on their faces, because they believed something. They were given an option. They were saying, recant, take back, tell us that he's not the Messiah, that he's not Christ, that he's not your Lord and Savior. And I believe that if that same question was posed to 98% of the people that call themselves Christians today, and you would take their SUVs or their Lexuses or their steak sandwich from them, they'd all abdicate, and they leave the faith, and they join a worldwide religion and say, listen, all I want to do is just play the game. You see, this unfreezing process, when they do it to you, it comes about when there's a manipulating procedure through role-playing into a new way or to a new problem. And you said it right. He writes on the blackboard, the whiteboard, or he, you know, and he asks for your input and all of that, and the group is drawn into this collective participation through the use of ambiguous words. And in the, you know, since I teach logic and an ambiguity, is a word that can have more than one meaning. Now, you're sitting in that meeting, and you don't exactly know the meaning of that word. It's called doublespeak. And then everybody's smiling around the table. And the next thing you know, you begin to smile, and they say something like, oh, we're so glad that Pastor John was able to come and see it our way. Whereas, in essence, I'm never the guy that ends up smiling. I'm sitting there saying, why are you using these words? Because the way that you've defined it doesn't mean that at all. Then I ask the other people around the table with me, why are you sitting here smiling when they've just taken away your right to be a free thinker? Now, once that takes place, then the whole group either has to think independent or turn on that one individual free thinker that refuses to be unfrozen. And the facilitator gives rewards, and I call them data boys, or whatever it takes in order to get the group to be on their side. And you see, what I try to do, or how I try to help people that's going through these processes and really don't know what's going on, is I ask them to establish a firm foundation in God. Know God for themselves. Know that there is objective truth, and that that truth will bring them through.
And, of course, that's what it's really all about. There's two philosophies in the world. One is everything is relative. There are no absolutes. And the other is, of course, there is a God. There is a right. There is a wrong. What they're teaching our children in school is there is no right. There is no wrong. That's what values clarification is all right. We have a lifeboat. There's room for 5 and 10 people. Which ones are you going to throw out? And, of course, you're going to have to make those decisions. You're going to have to clarify your value. Why would they do that to our children? Why, of course, to harm their lives, their minds permanently. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, I just wanted to mention the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters. You know, in uncertain times, it's nice to have an alternative means by which you can have water that's potable. Certainly, you don't want to have to distill water or boil water when you're going to use it. And these water filters are great to have around the house. They're great to take with you if you're going to go camping. You can use river water, you can use lake water or pond water. And of course, this is what the missionaries have used for 100 years or more throughout the world. The Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. The filters are ceramic packed with activated charcoal and actually coated with a silver. It doesn't come off, but of course it helps to self-sterilize. The filters can be used over and over again. They can be cleaned. And of course, this is just a good old workhorse. It'll filter 25 gallons of water a day if you want to stand there and keep pouring it in. A bargain at $239.95. And of course, if you buy one through us, well, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video that we produced. However, the Big Berkey is available in every state except for California and Iowa. However, there's one water filter that is available in every state but Iowa, and that's called the Berkey Light. It's made of Lexan, the same design. Pour the water in the top, comes out the bottom. The filters are really better in the Berkey Light, but of course, they don't work quite as rapidly, and of course, they have to be changed every 2 to 4 years with normal use. So if you'd like to get either one of the filters, why don't you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can see pictures of both of the filters. And then, of course, if you'd like to get them, why, of course, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Big Berkey or for the Berkey Light. If you need more information, you don't have access to a computer, well, we'd be glad to send you information on it. Again, the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, both excellent water filters for times like these. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Pastor John Coleman, and of course he is a professor. He's a lot of logic. He teaches logic at university college, and then of course where he's talking about how this is utilized today. It's used in our churches. It's used in our business. It's used in schools. It's used every place to control the minds of the American people. And most people, when they attend these meetings, they call them visioning meetings or planning meetings or homeowners meetings, but it's the facilitator, of course, who shapes what the meeting's all about. And of course, the people who hire him have already made the decision as to what the decision's going to be. So you pick up the story from there.
Absolutely. You see, what my purpose is, and I think what yours is also, is to not only to reveal, but to define the techniques used by these particular facilitators on unsuspecting persons. And that's another key, because most people don't suspect it. We have to develop ways, I believe, in which we might combat these subtle onslaughts which have taken over the church by surprise. We have to boldly allow God's word to influence our minds and our hearts as a defense against this movement. The community in which was once strong in faith, and the African-American community that I live in, has now been inundated with compromising clergy who declare that there is no way for them to know objective truth. We've come to these shores by way of controlled tides. I think that the old ship of Zion has been taken over, like I said, by dialectic pirates. How did we get here? I think that we got here by forfeiting our natural bent to question. We don't question the way we used to anymore. What we've done is we've let other people make decisions for us. That is not the American way. We are to question it. Also, by seeing ways to alleviate conflict. A lot of people in my society now don't want to get involved with conflict. They don't want to discuss controversial things. That's why when a homosexual clergy says, well, I want to be the bishop of the church, everybody says, well, just ordain him and keep him in the back, but let's not get involved in conflict. No, you must raise what the Bible says. If they're clergy, if they're Protestant, if they're biblical, they can't be a homosexual, because we know what the Bible says about that. What's another way that we defeat this? By allowing, don't ever allow others to do our thinking for us. We live in a society today where we believe in the experts, and the experts are a part of the dialectic process. You have to know it. That's why government is run this way. And you know what? When Khrushchev, I recall, because I was a teenager, when he beat his shoe on that table in the United Nations, talking about he was going to bury us, and a part of his dialogue was that we're not going to do it with a bomb or a bullet. They did it with the dialectic. And we sat there with our eyes wide open and looked at it. That's why we're embracing the very philosophy that 30 or 40 years ago we were fighting against.
And, of course, we've adopted these basic tenets of socialism, socialized yes. medicine, socialized education, socialized social services. All yes. of these things are the same things that they had in Russia.
Yes, absolutely. And then we're trusting in these people's smiling faces. I mean, President Clinton, man, that guy smiling and lying, and we're just smiling back at him, and I'm saying, wait a minute, something dangerous is about to take place. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference what your nationality is. I'm talking about just basic, common Christian sense here, thinking with a mind. You know, and our community says that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But when I see some of these guys and hear some of these girls talking, someone has unscrewed their mind. We also do it by relegating ourselves as unreasonable. You see, and I would say to the listening audience, I'm not an unreasonable man. I'm a man that knows what I'm talking about. And if I know what I'm talking about, I'm offended that somebody would tell me that I don't. You know, they say, well, John, you're arrogant. You're pushy. That's why they got rid of you in that church. You can't talk to people like that. You should have taken it slow. No, I was trying to bring them up to a place where I am. And then, of course, we got into this mess that we're in by not thinking with a biblical mentality. We are not bibliocentric in our minds. We are thinking more like the secular worldview that we have become a part of. Now, you know, the inevitable question is, do we have any options? Well, yeah. We have to come to realize that the system of manipulation is not about God at all.
And, of course, I think the important thing to do is get back to the Word of God, because that can be our guide for life. That was the guide, of course, which shaped this nation. We had men who feared God. And as, of course, John Adams had said, our form of government was made for a moral and religious people who would not do for any others.
Yes.
And, of course, as William Penn had said so well, those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. And, ladies and gentlemen, who thinks we're ruled by God today here in America? But the tyrants, of course, are not far away. We'll be right back in just a moment, and we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon, Dr. John Coleman. We're here to be talking, however, about some of the items that we carry here, which we, of course, hope that many of you will want to carry or will want to get. One of them, of course, is Phonopoly. It's a board game that teaches you how to read and spell and pronounce words. And, of course, it's basically played just like Monopoly. It's actually five board games and two bonus games and a couple of books that we throw in. It's $139.95. And really, it works very, very well. And in 16 hours, why, you can change a child's life. And if they can't read, if they've never been taught phonics, why, they really don't stand a chance. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask about Phonopoly. And then, of course, we would, of course, ask you to also seriously consider the Miracle 2 soap products. And, of course, we can't make any claims for them, but we can tell you that the people who use them make all sorts of claims for them. They, of course, people will tell us it helps their rashes, it helps their acne, it helps their intestinal problems or their heartburn, or, people rub the gel on a sore joint or a banged elbow and takes the pain out. Now, all we can do is tell you what people say. But the people who use Miracle 2 soap products are really sold on them, and they come back time after time after time. So if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, and of course you can read about them there. Or, of course, if you'd like to order them at a special reduced price, give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. And then, of course, let's go and talk a little bit about the Institute of the Constitution, because this is an idea that's time has come. Dr. John Eidsmo had put together a series of 12 lectures on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, giving the background to how our country was formed, this idea of liberty by limiting the power of the central government, what the Constitution says. And once you understand the Constitution, you'll know that we got a lot of lawbreakers in America today, and most of them are serving in the legislature and in the Senate of the United States, or sitting on our courts or in the White House, because, of course, they are avoiding the Constitution that they've sworn to uphold. Call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068, and learn about the Institute of the Constitution. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. We've got James calling from Virginia. Hi, James. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. I think they're trying to switch the pastor to false gospel. That's exactly what I think the mark of the beast is. It's a spiritual mark. They're trying to change your attitude, mindset to this false doctrine, this false gospel. And that's what the mark is. You look up the word mark in the dictionary, and it says character, and look up character, it says mark. It's they're trying to change your mind and compromise you. And I think that we're in the first half of the tribulation, and people don't know it.
All right, well, let's get Dr. Coleman's thoughts on that.
Okay.
Well, certainly, they are trying to change the message of the church, to change the nature of God, his attributes, because, of course, he's not only a God of love, but of justice and judgment, and, yes, even of vengeance. He brings his judgment, his vengeance upon nations that turn against him. What are your thoughts on what James was saying there?
James, I really appreciate you listening in. Well, they can't change me because I've been a Christian since August of 1967. I've studied my Bible. I obey it. Now, when I find people that don't obey the Word of God, therefore, I characterize them as sinners. And a sinner is not going to, nor can they in any way, live up to the standards of the Word of God. So you're absolutely correct, James. They're trying to change me, but as a faithful believer, I will never compromise what I know to be true about God for a sinner who has lived in compromise altogether. So you see, what my approach is, James, is that I am not on the defense. I'm on the offense. What I do is I know my Savior, I know my Bible enough, and I know what biblical authenticity and biblical authority is all about. And so their attempt to try to change me is a futile one, just like they know that I'll probably never change them. See, we'll be on the opposite sides of the fence, and then when it comes down to it, well, the worst thing that they can do to me is kill me, and then I'll just go directly to heaven.
Okay, so, fine. Anything else you want to say, James?
That's great. God bless.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Thank you. My telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Pastor, have you noticed how they sort of changed the character of God? He used to be, of course... We used to talk a lot about sin. We used to talk a lot about hell. We used to talk a lot about eternal punishment. But that message, which once was so common in our in Christianity, really has been removed. That was the message that was preached back in by Jonathan Edwards in the First Great Awakening when he gave that sermon over and over again, a sinner in the hands of an angry God. But we never talk about God being angry anymore. We've even changed the attributes of God because it really sells a lot better, doesn't it?
Well, of course it does. You see, churchmen today have looked at what they did to C.H. Spurgeon years ago, how they put him out of the Baptist Union, yet they'll develop statues and things to commemorate his great work, but they deny what he taught. Now, what they've done in Christianity today is that they have caused most pastors to become muted because the pastors have become materialists. What they're doing now is they're preaching a gospel of prosperity. It's about money now. It's about things. That is why the African-American pastors in large inner cities like Los Angeles, where I live in mansions. They drive expensive luxury cars. They dress in the best of clothes. Their churches cost $50 to $100 million. And the people like the slaves of old are building the Tower of Babel. So, you see, we have this one-world type of government coming right. I mean, it's an exciting time for me to be alive, because I'm watching it take place, and as I read my Bible, sure, what they've done is they've gone after the God of this world and forsaken the God of the Bible.
So what can we do? What can you do now as a minister? I know you have a church now, apparently my good friend Bob Klink goes there because he was looking around for a church that was preaching the gospel, and he had to go to a black church because he couldn't find a white church that was really getting back to the Word of God, because that's what it's really all about, not simply, you know, how we can feel better about ourselves or get along with our wife or get along with our kids, but what does the Word of God say? Because that has to be the standard of what we believe.
The churches have become polarized. And these pastors now, you know, many of the white pastors, when I do live talk radio every Sunday from 2 to 3 here in Los Angeles, the white pastors are listening to me just like the black ones are. And I ask them to call me and even tell me whether I'm wrong. There was one guy, a white pastor, that called, and he basically said over the air, "Do you think I'm going to throw away all this stuff that I have and teach what you're doing?" And I'm saying, you're commissioned by God to teach it. And I believe that there are some fine other smaller white churches out there, but once you get into that church, this system has already crept in. One of the guys that's doing it, I think with leaps and bounds, and everybody knows it, is Rick Warren. This guy is having conferences all over the world, literally. He has thousands of pastors and churches following them. And by the time the individuals get into his so-called 40 days of purpose, you know, I was on the radio last Sunday and I was talking about it. I don't need 40 days of purpose to find out who I am. I need to open up the Word of God and let it minister to me. You see, we're involved. Christianity is involved in a war today. And what happens is that it's not about whether the church is white or black. It's whether you're going to believe the white or black about the Bible. What has God said? Why are these pastors afraid to teach the people what God has said? Simply put, because they don't believe it themselves.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting. I came across an article today. It was written by the Theosophists. And for those of you who do not know what Theosophy is, it's a satanic religion originated by Madame Blavatsky. But it was talking, and anybody would like a copy of this, I'll be glad to send it to them. It was talking about the importance of groups and how, of course, the only way you could contact this this special energy was through groups. And as you begin to read this article, it talks about groups and how the group is the pattern and how we identify with a group. And, of course, they're talking about from an occult point of view. And yet, of course, we see this spreading throughout the entire Christian church today as we begin to change the message and the music of the church. And then, of course, everybody has to be in a small group where they will be, of course, talking about the scriptures and come to a consensus, not what the Bible says, but how do you feel about what the Bible says?
And this is the way I answer it. When they come to my website, one of the first pictures that's going to come up on the main front page is an ancient picture given to me by my now-deceased pastor and mentor, the Reverend James Billy Stanley. He had it in the hallway of his home for years. When he passed away, his wife asked me, what is it that you want out of his library or anything? I just said, I just want that one picture right there on the wall. And it's a beautiful picture, an old painting. I doubt if you can get the print anywhere. But it's one of Daniel standing alone in a lion's den with the bones of men on the floor that died around him. And he's standing there in the face of these beasts, and the beast won't jump him. Now, that's become one of my favorite pictures because that is, it's not about groups. It's not about groups. It's about standing alone on what God has said. And that's what's wrong with America. We don't believe God anymore. We become so weak, so impotent that we need a group, and the group has been facilitated to destroy you. Stand alone, and when the pressure comes, trust in God. This is what we as Christians are to do. This is what our faith demands of us. We have lost that principle, and that's why I have the picture on the website, and some folk get offended and say, that scares me. Well, it frightens you because you don't believe in the standard of God's word alone. You see, you have to question the one that questions your traditions without relegating yourselves to their particular point of view. See, and believe in objective truth as taught and validated in that book. Never compare those truths that we've been convinced of with other forms of false so-called truth, like you've just mentioned, and then confidently affirm what the church has affirmed for well over 2,000 years. You don't hear people talking like that now. Pastors don't preach like that anymore. These guys are afraid of the consequences of standing alone and preaching the truth. Now, of course, I meet with individuals because I present Bible studies in my home. Of course, I meet when I meet with the fellowship group and I preach to them. And so we do meet in small groups. But if our fellowship ever got to the point where we were 500 and 600 people, I'd probably train some more pastors and break them off with smaller groups and say, you can teach a smaller group better Bible than having 500 people spinning off on the doctrine of prosperity and trying to ordain Sally as the next pastor of the church. You see, we've come to a point in our minds where we refuse to listen to God. And so since we don't listen to God anymore, the enemy is going to open up the doors, and it's nothing but a Pandora's box.
Well, what is wrong with a group? Let me just, when I was in a church a long time ago, they would have groups for, socially. You got together on a regular basis socially and just simply talk about things occasionally, maybe once a month, have a picnic, something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a nice way to sort of fill into the church. But some of the groups that they have there now are really sort of consensus on the scriptures rather than a didactic teaching of the scriptures. It's how do we feel about it, not what does God say. And of course, in the final analysis, each of us are going to stand before the throne of judgment, by ourselves, not as part of a group.
Absolutely. Well, because it works like this. You know, if you talk to me in this church group, and I talk to you, and then I disagree with you, well, we've got to keep on talking until one of the persons with a better idea changes the mind of the other person. Now, we speak with such finesse or tact that they can talk me into agreeing with them to the point that my original statement that I made in the church, in the group meeting, at the picnic, becomes a blending of this original negation of my statement. And then I end up happy about the whole situation. This is what the whole purpose is. You see, they are practicing the experience of speculating and conjecture and theorizing. Now they're doing that in the church. They have to do that because, well, we really don't know whether he got up out of the tomb. You're right. Well, you know, maybe Jesus was a homosexual. That's what they're saying right now. See, they're doing this. And so praxis is, let's get into the habit of not making decisions until we have all felt the need of the whole group, and then we can determine whether Jesus was gay or not. You see what I mean? Now, once you do that, and that's why they're ordaining these homosexual priests and everything else, because they're out there trying to fill the needs of everybody. And so when this happened, we just can't go forward, brother or sister, without every one of us pulling together. And I like to think that you want to be a part of us, don't you, my brother? Here again, I'm sitting in the group, and I'm saying, not really. You see, because I've thought through it. I mean, I'm at this time, while I'm sitting in the group, I'm smiling and drinking my coffee, and I'll say, Sister Smith, nice cup of coffee. Oh, John, I'm so glad you're here. You're going to agree with this. May I give you an example of how it worked? It was a number of years ago. Well-known national preacher was trying to get all the preachers of different denominations together in his church to come together, and so that we could all meet at, I call it the Doom Dome here in Los Angeles. It's a Word Faith church run by Frederick Casey Price, Fred Price. And he's a Word of Faith preacher. Matter of fact, I heard some interesting things on the wire today that Kenneth Hagin collapsed. Well, if he collapsed, he must have been sick. So his doctrine of Christians don't get sick is a hoax. The whole church had to break up. So there's one lie you got to deal with. But anyhow, I got this letter, and we were supposed to meet and confer. And so I took my film crew down because we were doing public access television. And I went down there, and I asked the gentleman, it was Jack Hayford's church on the way, and I asked Jack Hayford, and I says, Jack, how can you ask 300 of these pastors in this room that you're feeding breakfast to go down here to Fred Price's church when Fred Price is a heretic? And I just said it right out in front of everybody. I said, the man is a heretic. He doesn't know doctrine. He's never gone to school for anything. His degree is illegitimate. He's illegitimate. I just said it. Jack Hayford turned red as a beet. Fred was outraged. And then Fred gets up in front of the whole group, and I have him on videotape, so I'm not lying on him. Fred gets up in front of the whole group and says, doctrine. He says, doctrine is what screwed up the church in the first place. Now, those 300 pastors heard that. They sat right there, and they applauded Fred Price. Now, that's what we've come to. That's what we've come to. And I haven't been on this solo crusade. As a matter of fact, I took the videotape to Grace Community Church. Dr. John MacArthur showed him. He was writing a book called Charismatic Chaos at the time. I took the tape, showed him. John sat down and says, what has Jack done? I said, what do you think he's done? This whole booming church thing is coming into consensus, John.
Well, yeah. Of course, I think that the thing is that what we're saying is to begin to unite the churches as we move towards the one world religion. And we'll get together all the various Protestant denominations and then the Catholic denominations,
right,
and then the Jews and, of course, the Muslims. And then, of course, with the Hindus, we can all live together with this common religion. Because, after all, we all worship God, don't we? And this is the problem that we have. We have to do away with the individual. Everybody has to merge into the group exactly as they did in the Soviet Union.
And let me respond to that. Because, you see, America is a very unique society. See, I don't mind. I mean, if you want to be Muslim, if you want to be Hindu, if you want to be Jewish, go ahead. Go to your mosque. Go to your synagogue. Go ahead and have that. I'm not trying to tell you to stop having it. I mean, if someone has the Church of the Bullfrog, go ahead. You know, but just listen. I don't want to meet and confer with you about a bullfrog. I'm not going to pray to the holy bullfrog. I'm not going to do it. I was a chaplain here in the LAPD. I had to resign because they're saying, we don't want you mentioning the generic names of deities. Well, his name is Jesus. I'm at a graduation, and I'm praying for the recruits. Their motto in L.A. is to protect and serve. I couldn't even use Jesus, protect them. I resigned.
Well, I think that's what you have to do. Our pastor has been, our guest has been Pastor John Coleman. John, it's been a real pleasure to have you. I hope we can get you onto our other programs, and we can continue this discussion later.
Thank you so much.
Good night. God bless.
God bless you.
Well, we've got real trouble in Christianity today. Of course, as society reflects the church, and look at society. Where did the church get off the right track? Where did it cease to be the conscience of our society? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about a few of the other things, of course, we have. If those of you, of course, have not got a specific long-distance carrier, or you already have one, if you'd like to, of course, change over to Lifeline, why 10% of whatever your fee will be will come to Radio Liberty. It can help certainly finance what we do. And, of course, at least give them a call at 800-545-9533. Their rates have always been very competitive. That's Lifeline at 800-545-9533. And then, of course, we certainly hope that some of you will want to get a new four-tape set we've put together. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. And basically, it's a talk based upon a talk that was given by Dr. Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood in the 1960s. And he gave a talk to a group of doctors back in 1969. And he talked about the people who control the world. It is the most incredible talk I've ever heard. Of course, you're not going to hear the talk. You're going to hear the recollections of Dr. Dunnigan, who was a pediatrician who heard the talk. And I've interviewed Dr. Dunnigan, but most of this is actually interviews that were done by Randy Engel, a pro-life organization. And, of course, we have the complete text of everything that was said. So you not only read it, you can actually hear it. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's a little expensive because we have to pay a royalty to Randy Engel, but we wanted to put this out and make it available to everyone, because I will tell you, after you've heard this and read the text, you will never look at the world with the same eyes again. And of course, they were simply talking about how they were going to create new diseases, how they were going, of course, to withhold treatments for cancer. Could things like that happen in America today? Call The New Order of the Barbarians. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I have to remind all of you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day as we reach out across America. I hope one day we'll have hundreds and hundreds of radio stations. Right now we've got 59 outlets every week, and some of them, 35 are just half an hour a week, but at least people are hearing the truth they'd never hear otherwise. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, why, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warren, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, while you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do as we reach out across America, trying to get people to think about what's happening. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a copy of our newsletter, why don't you just give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The September newsletter, I think, is rather good. It simply talks about what happened on December 7th, 1941. What happened on, December 7th, 1941, what happened on September 11th, the year 2001, 60 years later. And was there any similarities about what the various people, say the man in charge of the army was concerned, or the president was doing on those days? Well, we hope that you'll want to get the copy of that newsletter. We hope many of you will actually want to subscribe to the newsletter. All we do is ask you to check the facts and decide for yourself. The newsletter actually contains the suppressed testimony of Mindy Kleinberg. She testified before the committee, the new investigating committee, in March of this year. Her testimony was totally blocked out by the controlled media. And although you can pull it down off the internet, unless you knew what her name was, you wouldn't even know what to ask for. But we've simply reproduced her entire testimony. I think you'll find it fascinating and heartrending. She lost her husband in the North Tower. And, of course, that's the September newsletter, and you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com and pull down our newsletters and pull down our programs. You can listen to them live 5 hours a day, and you can fill up the rest of the day listening to the archive programs. They're archived for 3 or 4 weeks there. But better still, just pick 1 or 2 hours a day to listen live or the archive programs. Encourage others to go to our website to listen to the programs. The listening audience is growing, and that's really what's so exciting. So, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our programs, tell others about our website, seriously consider organizing an Institute of the Constitution in your community, in your school, in your church, and you do that by calling 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068, and these institutes are being set up all across America to begin to rekindle that flickering flame of belief in America that is about to be extinguished, and now people are learning about our Christian heritage and how it's been stolen from us, and the fact that our elected representatives and our Supreme Court justices are actually violating the oath they've sworn to uphold our Constitution. Once you know what the Constitution says, you'll understand that they're violating that oath. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because behind everything that's going on today are spiritual forces. And, of course, this is truly what's described in Ephesians 6:8. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spirits of wickedness in high places. And then please, of course, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until at the same time next week, pardon me, tomorrow, I should say, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.